Church this morning. We are so glad that you all are here today. In your bulletins, there is a connection card. We invite you to fill that out and place it in the offering plate later in our worship service. Also, if you have a prayer request that you would like shared during our prayer time, there are cards available in the pew racks. Feel free to take one of those and hand them to the ushers during our opening hymn. There are a few events coming up that I'd like to draw your attention to. Our board and staff retreat is coming up on Wednesday, August 26th from 5 to 8 in the evening. If you are in any elected leadership position, if you are a member of a board or a standing committee, you are encouraged to participate in that retreat. Childcare will be provided. You can RSVP at fbca2.org/connect and let us know that you're planning to join us. We can plan for food and etc. It'll be a fun and meaningful evening of connection and reflection as we begin this new season of ministry together. And if you consider yourself to be a young adult, we have a broad definition of that term, you're invited to celebrate the end of summer with an evening at the lake hosted by the Mills family. That will be on Sunday, August 23rd from 5 to 7 in the evening. Come enjoy dinner and lakeside activities. The details are in your bulletin, and you can always contact Jamie Mills if you have any questions. Sunday, August 30th, our youth group will have lunch together after church. So if you are a youth or know a youth, encourage them to join us for lunch after worship on Sunday, August 30th, as summer wraps up. This past week, I so enjoyed having a few first tea times with several of you, and I invite all of you to please sign up for tea with Pastor Laura. It'll be a time for us just to spend some time getting to know one another, hearing your stories, and sharing a cup of tea together, coffee if you prefer. You can sign up using the link on the website, and don't hesitate if you have any issues signing up to reach out to me by email or phone or text. I'll be happy to help you get signed up. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Let us now turn our hearts to God in worship, trusting that we will find rest for our weary souls.
Thank you. Please stand as you are able in body or spirit as we pray together. Holy God, we come from our various lives this morning seeking your presence, your power, your peace in our hearts and in our world. Give us courage to trust you more and increase our faith that we might not be afraid. May we take heart in your presence in this hour and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Join me in the responsive psalm as it is printed in your bulletin. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on God's name. Make known the deeds of the Lord among the peoples.
Sing to the Lord. Sing praises. Tell all God's works.
Give praise to God's holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Remember the wonderful works God has done, the miracles and the justice God declared. Praise the Lord.
Together a psalm. That word starts with a P. Psalm, that's weird. And we find it in almost, it feels like, the middle of the Bible. So we just, with Beth, we read back and forth in the Psalms. And the Psalms generally are two different things. They either are a little bit, I don't want to say whiny, but they talk about things that aren't going great. They're honest. There are some psalms that say, this isn't so good, God. Like a prayer, or a poem, a song. And then there are some psalms that are like, hey, woohoo, Woo! This is good. And generally, when we worship together, we say the psalms that are the woo-hoo psalms. So today we have a psalm that's a woo-hoo, give God thanks psalm. And the line in Psalm 105 says this: tell of all God's wonderful works. Tell of all the good things. A couple of Sundays ago, after you guys had already gone up to children's ministry, the teenagers and the grown-ups, we prayed. We made space to say the things that weren't good, and we had space to say the things that were good. And I thought maybe today, since our psalm invites us to do this, tell of all of God's wonderful works, that maybe we could do that today, us kids, you kids. So, the psalm says to talk about the good things. Can we talk about some good things? What are some good things that are happening in your life, or that have happened this summer, or in the last week? Like, I don't know, maybe some really big splashes at the pool? Or what? What else, Ivy? What's something that's been really good for you? Ivy figured out what she's going to wear for her first day of school outfit. She's getting ready for a new beginning. That is good news. Emma. Oh, vacation in Grand Haven, Lake Michigan. Those are all good things. Tom, what are you thinking about that's a good thing? Tom went on vacation to Chautauqua, and then he stayed a little longer with his grandparents. Another great thing I'm thinking about is that Edie turned 100 years old. That's pretty exciting. We can give God thanks for that. Amelia, what's something that you're thinking about is something good? Last week you went to camp. Yeah. What else, Penny? Going to the pool with friends. Yeah, what are you thinking about, Eleanor? Awesome. So swimming, spending time with friends. I went to a concert with friends from church last night. That was really good for my spirit. Lots of good things. We laughed at a church meeting this week. Mary, Laura, and I, lots of laughter coming from a planning meeting. Do come to the board and staff retreat. We're excited about that. So many good things. It's good to remember. And the psalmist today says, hey, take time to say what is good, to celebrate God's goodness. So our final prayer to wrap up this moment of sharing all the good things is just to say, woo-hoo, really loudly. Can we do it? At the count of three, can that be our way of saying to God, thanks for all these good things? Okay, the count of three, woo-hoo. Here we go. One, two, three. Woo-hoo! Amen. Let's head to church school together.
God of power and love, you are with us in every circumstance of this life. We thank you for your steadfast faithfulness. We thank you for the gift of your peace, which comes to us even in times of chaos trouble, and doubt. We thank you for your powerful arms of mercy that grasp us when we are sinking. We put our trust in you, for you continually save us. We ask for your power and love to overwhelm the chaos of the nations. In every place of war, send your encompassing peace to restore and repair all that is torn and broken. We pray that violent and hostile struggles will be defeated by good. Give us faith and courage to follow Christ so closely that divisions are dismantled, reconciliation is accomplished, and love casts out all fear. O God, we entrust to your care all those who suffer, all who are hiding from you, from others, or even from themselves, because of fear or feelings of unworthiness. To those enduring persecution or prejudice, bring freedom. For those caught in the grip of anxiety and uncertainty, grant the calm rest that your peace gives. For all who face illness and pain, we pray for restoration and wholeness to fill them in heart, mind, and body. Today we pray especially for Noreen, Donna, Grange, Pidgey, Kathy, Judy, John, Mary Margaret, Erica, Marilyn, Keith, Marlene, Roberta, Mervyn, Esther, Marilyn, Helga, Cindy, Greg, Keith, Beth, Paul, Crystal, and Martin. We trust in your promises, O God, to save us. Hear our cries to you, we pray. We ask all things in the name of Jesus the Christ, your Son and our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, It is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God.
Today's gospel lesson picks up right where we left off last week. Jesus had fed a crowd of thousands with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And then the scriptures say, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed them. In Matthew's gospel, today's story follows directly after that miraculous feeding of the crowd. You might remember that last week I wondered about how Jesus and his disciples might have been tired from their ministry work of healing and teaching. I wondered how Jesus had tried to get away, but the crowds followed him. And now, immediately after the work of healing and feeding that great crowd was finished, Jesus puts the disciples on a boat, and he goes up on a mountain to pray. Jesus finally gets away to restore and to refresh himself. However, the disciples had no opportunity to rest. Today's story continues. When evening came, he was there alone, Jesus was alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. So instead of getting some rest, the disciples must navigate a storm on the sea. Now, many of those disciples, as we know, were fishermen. And so a storm on the sea was not outside of their ability to handle, but they were already tired. And now they have spent all night out on the sea, struggling against this difficult storm. And then, when early morning arrives and they see a figure coming towards them on the water, I imagine that they are bone tired and utterly exhausted, and their wits might not be fully about them. Basic neuroscience teaches us that when we are exhausted, overwhelmed, and stressed, our sympathetic nervous system gets activated. The sympathetic nervous system is that which directs the body's rapid, involuntary response to dangerous or stressful situations. These systems are useful in helping us to survive when we're faced with a physical threat to our lives, like, for example, encountering a bear in the wild. When we feel threatened, these systems prepare us to either fight the bear or flee from the bear or freeze and hope that everything's already dead. Those are all ways to protect life. Fighting, fleeing, freezing. I wonder if Peter and the other disciples in our story today might have been in this kind of heightened state. They had spent that long day ministering to the crowds, and then Jesus put them in the boat and sent them out to sea, and they were met with a great storm. And then in the wee hours of the morning, as they continue to navigate those stormy seas, this figure comes towards them walking on the water. When the disciples see him walking on the sea, they are terrified and they cry out, "It's a ghost." In the ancient world, people believed that bodies of water were ruled by chaotic forces. Waters often represented evil powers. And so the disciples mistake this figure on the water with a ghost, some sort of evil spirit, and they become terrified. The disciples panic when they see Jesus walking towards them, and they begin fearfully shouting, "It's a ghost, it's a ghost." They don't take any action towards the perceived threat or run away from it. They simply cry out in fear. The disciples' response reminds me of that moment in a horror film when a character comes face to face with a big scary thing and just stands there so solidly and just screams, they can't seem to move, they're frozen. But once Jesus identifies himself, Peter insists that Jesus invite him to join him in this miracle of walking on the water. Peter is eager to take action. He has this take charge attitude. His response reminds me of those people who jump in and take charge of a crisis. I think of those who run towards a problem or a threat and fight it by taking bold, decisive action. Peter jumps out of the boat, ready to walk on water. He's not one to sit back while feeling fearful. Peter and the rest of the disciples respond to this perceived threat, this figure moving towards them on the water with very human reactions. These responses are not wrong. They are simply how we as humans respond when we experience a threat, whether it is real or imagined. And I wonder if these responses sound familiar to you. I wonder if you might feel fearful these days. There seem to be existential threats knocking on our door or lurking around the corner. Will our democracy survive the next election? Will food and gas and other basic essentials keep getting more expensive until we can't to survive? Will our neighbors continue to be taken off the streets and out of their homes to be sent away? Will those masked men come for us? Will the earth become uninhabitable due to human consumption and extraction? All that is overwhelming and exhausting in our world can cause us to be reactionary rather than thoughtfully engaged citizens. Our limbic system, that part of the brain which houses our emotions and our basic instincts, can take over, and we can become increasingly reactive rather than productive. responses are neither good or bad in and of themselves. They are simply how you respond to a threat. But if we want to return to a calmer state, we must work to re-engage the other parts of our brains, like that prefrontal cortex, where we do our more complex thinking and our discerned decision-making. And this shift requires attention to our thinking and to our eyes. Today's story gives us an example of how Jesus responded to the disciples when they were in a state of distress. The story may also give us insight into how Jesus responds to us when we are in such a state of fear and stress. As Jesus walks towards them on the stormy seas, the disciples cry out, "It's a ghost!" And Jesus responds, "Take heart, it is I." In Greek, "it is I" is ego eimi, which are the same words used to translate that divine name, I am, from Hebrew into Greek. Jesus says, "Take heart, I am." Jesus proclaims to the disciples who he is. Jesus states clearly here that he is not a ghost, but in fact, he is one and the same as God. Jesus claims his identity as one with the Creator who moved over the waters at creation and tamed the chaos. And Jesus is able to do the same. He walks on water. He brings order to the chaotic, stormy seas. And then, immediately following this claiming of his identity, he says to the disciples, "Do not be afraid. There is nothing to fear." This is not simply a direction to the disciples to stop freaking out, but it is a clear statement by Jesus that he is in control and that the disciples can calm down. They do not need to be fearful. Jesus is in control. And then, of course, Peter comes into the picture once again, and he calls out to Jesus and says, "If it is you, command me to come to you on the water." This action of Peter has been interpreted in many different ways. Some commend Peter for his bravery in stepping out of the boat, trying the scary thing of walking stormy seas. Others condemn him for testing Jesus. I wonder if Peter's action is actually a fearful response, like that fight instinct. He's not going to fight Jesus, of course, but this instinct to jump into the waters and to do the thing that Jesus is doing is this active, confrontational response to the thing that's frightened him. It's a bit reckless, of course, to jump out of the boat into stormy seas, but that is classic Peter, jumping in and taking action. We might understand this move by Peter as fear-based. Remember, fear-based responses aren't good or bad in and of themselves. They are simply human. Regardless of whether you judge Peter's actions as good or bad, Jesus' response to Peter is noteworthy. Jesus indulges Peter's request. He invites Peter to come out onto the water with him, and for a moment, Peter succeeds. He walks on water too. Then he falters, and Jesus catches him. This is Jesus' response to Peter's fear. Jesus encourages us to take action, whether or not it's a perfectly good idea. Jesus hears our requests and honors our individual journeys, and Jesus catches us when we start to sink, when we get it wrong. When our fight, flee, or freeze response gets us into trouble, Jesus will be there to reach out and save us, and gently remind us that we can trust in him. Once everyone's back in the boat, the winds die down and calm is restored. This is another response by the divine to our fearful moments. God offers us safe space to gather and to recenter. Jesus' own presence, available to us through all kinds of spiritual practices, promises to return us to stasis. Focusing on Jesus, as the disciples did when they worshiped him at the end of this story, has a centering effect. The seas and the disciples return to calm as the disciples declare, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Worship serves as a method for addressing fear. So many of our spiritual practices, prayer and meditation, singing, communion, worship, and Bible study, have elements of proven techniques for returning our bodies and our minds to a state of calm. These practices engage our hearts and our minds in ways that move us beyond fear, towards peace, hope. So today's story of Jesus and Peter walking on those rocky seas serve to remind us that Jesus is one with our great God, that Jesus is present with us in the midst of our fear, that Jesus offers us what we need when we're fearful, and that Jesus will save us when we're in over our heads. We can trust Jesus to do these things. We can trust God to be with us even in the most terrifying moments. Time and time again, our God has seen us through tough and scary times. It doesn't really matter if the threat is perceived or if it is real. Jesus meets us where we are in that fear. When we're drowning because our fear, Jesus helps us back into the boat, calms the seas. And when those seas are calmed, once our fears are relieved, can look up, recognize the work of God in Jesus, and we can proclaim his identity with the disciples. Truly, you are the Son of God.
We want to be people who respond to God's call. The call to come. Even when it feels stormy, and when it is stormy. So let's hear God's voice, the calming one, and let's respond to it. So we move forward towards God's voice now with our gifts of time, our gifts of money, our gifts of love. Let us give generously.